Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great day today. Man, we're so glad to be with you. And, you know, I wish we could be together, having lunch together, but technology will do, right? Until we can get together. I'm so looking forward to our National Leaders Retreat this year. We have Daniel Grothy, who's going to speak the first night. And Daniel has been the senior associate pastor of New Life Church with Brady Boyd for a lot of years. And he's written a powerful book called The Power of Place. And it talks about how to nurture our best lives. And we're going to be talking a lot that week about how to enjoy this season of ministry more than any season that we've ever enjoyed. You know, there's one sin that just about every pastor friend I have, and I myself, we've all committed this one. And it's in the book of Corinthians when Paul says that those who measure themselves by themselves and those who compare themselves by themselves are not wise. And so by those standards, we've all been not wise at some point in our life. And the older you get, hopefully the wiser you get, and you realize that God encoded dreams in every one of our hearts. Psalm 139 says every day of our life was planned by God before one of them came to be. And he formed us with a story in our heart. And the real satisfaction and significance and joy that we're looking for simply comes whenever we live out that story that God has encoded on the inside of our hearts. And we're going to talk about that today. Psalm 1 says we're to be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. You don't see apple trees wanting to be cherry trees and all that kind of stuff. You know, God made all of us unique, and there's nothing more joyful than looking at somebody who loves himself, loves their wife, loves their kids, loves their city, just loves what God calls them to do instead of comparing and looking so many different places. So we've got a great guest today, dear friend, couldn't wait to be with him today, Pastor Gary Hart from Victory Church in Great Falls, Montana. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How's it all going down there?
Well, we actually are getting tons of rain today, but the farmers are happy. The rest of us, we're trying to figure out if we are. So,
well, that's really unique. We've had some incredible thunderstorms and cloud bursts the last two nights here in Montana. It's been crazy.
Ah, I bet it's kind of pretty though, right? Is it?
It really is. It's a sight to behold.
Yeah, I sat on my back porch this morning reading my Bible with my coffee, and thunder, lightning came. Tamara said, "Get in. I don't want you hit by lightning." I said, "It's just so beautiful. It's hard to not stay out here." But anyway, Gary, you started in the city you're in 1991, right?
Actually, we started here in 1984. I was in Billings, Montana, and an invitation came for me to move to Great Falls and work with youth, actually, in 1984. And 7 years later, then we became the lead pastors at the church we're now at.
Yeah, you and Pam, I just love being around you because there's always, it's always filled with life. We're laughing about stuff. We're talking about stuff. Then it'll go into something, you know, that might be deep and serious and something that you've been through. But I think Mike Ware is the guy that said this to me. He said, you know, Jim, eventually we realize that the things that we thought were going to destroy our churches really aren't going to destroy our churches. We just need to stay faithful and let God do what he's called us to do. So I'm going to welcome the new members to the network in just a second. But before I do, tell them a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, today we're going to just cover, you know, blooming where you're planted, and particularly in the concept of how to love your city. And I love this topic because I feel like it's really my story in that I really felt God planted me in Great Falls. What I mean by that is if you were to ask me at the beginning where I wanted to pastor and where I would want to give my life, Great Falls probably would not have been at the top of my list. In fact, kind of a funny story. When I met my wife out in Bible school, knowing that she was from Montana and particularly Great Falls, I told her, I said, "I hope you're not a mama's girl because I will never live in Montana." And, you know, 40 years later, I'm still here. And, you know, spring, summer, and fall can be incredible in Montana. But to be honest, winters can be very brutal. And, Pam and I, you know, aren't exactly cold weather people, and we probably would have preferred somewhere a little bit of a milder climate. But, you know, when God opened the door for me to come to Great Falls, I just really had a passion to obey and to be obedient to him. And, you know, I'll be honest, in those early years, I probably wasn't too fond of being here in Great Falls and really didn't want to consider this my home. But in the process of things, God began to change my heart, and it made all the difference in the world. I began to see this is where God wanted me to be. And so today we just truly love Great Falls. Whenever we leave and go somewhere else, we're just chomping at the bit to get home because this is the place that God has planted us.
Yeah, you know, it kind of breaks your heart sometimes when you see somebody in your church that might even achieve a level of success, but they don't know how to handle things in their heart right, and they start losing their family, they start losing their kids, and you know that down the road, those things are going to matter so much more even than the success they had. Of course, we all want success, but if you don't have, you know, the relationships that you want and those kind of things, and down the road, that some of that just doesn't tend to fulfill you the way that you thought it would. I remember we had a guy in our church. He was a football coach turned insurance agent, and he was in assisted living. Asked if I'd come see him. He felt like he was, you know, on the door of heaven, and sitting there with his wife. And I don't mean this wrong, but they both weren't in the best shape of their lives. Okay, and they were coming to the end, and she looked at him, and she said, "When I saw him in his convertible, and he was this handsome football coach, and I was this young lady," she said, "I thought, man, if I marry him, I'll be so happy." She said, "I never dreamed that I'd come to the end of my life and love him more than I ever have." And the things that mattered the most were things that they had learned to practice. Didn't do it overnight, honestly. When they first came to the church, they were baby Christians, you know. But I pastored him for about 30 years before he went to heaven. And God did a great work in their soul. And God wants to do that for us as pastors. He really does want us to love our town so much that people feel it, because it makes a difference. I mean, the hearts of people open up when they know that you love them, you love this city, you love this place, and that you live to see people really enjoy life and prosper in the place where we live. So we're going to talk about how to do that today. Before we do, I want to welcome some new members to Significant Church. Pastor Danny Anderson from The Bridge in Rio Hondo, Texas. Bill Cole from Faith Baptist Church. Pastor Tracy Crawford, Size City Church in Rialto, California. Bill's from Sebring, Florida. Sorry, I missed that. Pastor Guillermo Escalona from Coral Villa Baptist Church in Miami, Florida. Pastor Vinnie Green from Roadside Chapel in Rutland, Virginia. Pastor Joe Gunter, First Assembly from Crystal River, Florida. Pastor Victor Joji from Living Word Christian Center in Gasparillo, Trinidad. Pastor Kevin Jordan from Fearless Church, Port Charlotte, Florida. Pastor Tim Newman, Turning Point Church, Macomb, Illinois. Pastor Jeffrey Niatuka from Calvary Community Church of God, Grand Forks, North Dakota. Pastor Paul Olson, Refuge Christian Ministries from Goldway, Texas. Pastor Leslie Peters from Harvest Celebration, North Ridge, California. Pastor Bruce Philippi from Journey Church, Mansfield, Ohio. Pastor Larry Richmond, Family Worship, Wabash Valley, Brazil, Indiana. Pastor Jeff Spring, Trinity Worship Center, Spring Hill, Louisiana. Pastor Floyd Steverson, Grace Church, Pearl, Mississippi. Pastor Donnie Villarreal, Kingdom Builders Church in San Juan, Texas. And Pastor Mark Wilson from Hope Missionary Church in Bluffton, Indiana. And we welcome you guys. Gary, lots of small towns, man, on that list today. I like that, right?
Because I know it, but I did notice that most of them, I was noticing that most of them are either down south or around the world. We got to get some Northwest churches connected here.
I'm all for that. I can tell you that. And, you know, what's cool about this is when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to get rewarded for being famous. I don't read, "Well done, my good and famous servant." I read, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And God wants us to love that as much as he does. So help us. Tell us about your journey. Tell us how we can really live out the unique identity God's put in our heart.
Well, today I just wanted to share with you just a couple of keys that we have applied in our lives in helping us bloom where we're planted here in Great Falls, and really how to truly love our city. The first one may seem rather elementary, but I think it's so vital. And that's, if you're going to bloom where you're planted, you have to truly love your city. You know, it seems crazy, but like I said before, when we started in Great Falls, I didn't really love Great Falls. And I had basically told God that I'll stay here as long as you want me to, but I don't want to stay a day longer. And after 38 years of ministry here, I guess he just decided that he didn't want to move us. And so I had to make some decisions. And so after 38 years, or actually just in tolerating Great Falls for all those times, I finally had a change of heart. I just really realized I needed to change my perspective on the community where God had assigned me if I was going to really be fruitful and blossom here. So I chose to really embrace Great Falls as my forever home. I changed my attitude. I changed my confession. I just started speaking blessing over the city and talking about all the great things that Great Falls had to offer. I changed my mind completely about, you know, the whole area that we were living in. And I prayed, just asked God to change my heart. And even today, now I can truly say that I love Great Falls. And I'm so grateful to God that he's given us the privilege of pastoring here for all of these years. You know, some people kind of see their current assignment as a temporary assignment, or maybe even as a stepping stone to somewhere better. I know in the denomination that I grew up in the 18 years that I was in my growing up years before I went off to college, in my denomination in those 18 years, we had 6 different senior pastors in that time. There was always a constant turnover, and you just never heard of pastors staying in any one place. And so I just really want to encourage you to resist the temptation or the mindset that you know, this is just a temporary assignment, because you just never know. This just might be God's permanent assignment for you, and you could very possibly waste very valuable time and energy looking for other opportunities or greener pastures somewhere else. And I often think of the scripture in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. And so I just want to encourage you, learn to be faithful where you're at. And if God sees fit, let him be the one to promote you. But make the decision to bloom where you're planted and just fall deeply in love with the city that you're at.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, this Sunday I'm going to be talking about how Jesus said that if you obey my teaching, you'll live in my love, which is kind of, you know, that what an interesting thought. And so I'll be talking about how when I was a young Christian, you'd read scriptures like there's people who hold on too tight and come to nothing, and there are people who give away and they end up with plenty. And you're thinking, hold it, that doesn't make sense to me. How do I give away and end up with more than if I held on? You know, maybe not everybody's that way, but I know some people are like me that you think, now, does that really make sense? Or, you know, the first time you hear a message on forgiveness, right? And you hear somebody say, what you really need to do with people who despitefully use you is pray for them, forgive them. Of course, you hold boundaries. You don't just let them continue to hurt you. But the best chance of having special relationships is to forgive people, to believe and to have boundaries, but to really believe in love. And you sit there and you think, wow, that really works. And so for Jesus, he said, if you'll do what I say, you'll know my love. And I think it's really true about pastoring, that if you love your city, you'll love your city. You know what I'm saying? If you don't love your city, you'll never know how much you would have loved your city. But if you love your city, it's amazing how you just one day you wake up with a heart and you think, God, I couldn't have planned it better. This is great. I mean, thank you for the chance to just love these people and to stay here. And I just think about you and Pam, what great pastors you are. And people that don't get planted in a church, sometimes they'll run to this, they'll run to that, they'll run somewhere else, but they never get the real stuff. that changes your life. You know, from being under a pastor that really, you look back and you say, man, that really changed me just being planted here. And God said this in the Old Testament. I love it. He looked at Israel and he said, your prophets are prophesying lies. In other words, they're telling you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. Your priests are ruling by their own authority, which means maybe it's more about personality than really learning what you need to learn. And he said, and you love it that way. But what's the end going to be like? And sometimes I think of that. I mean, what kind of society do we build where everybody's a hireling? Everybody, it's just all about what they want. Versus what kind of families are built and what kind of church families are built when a pastor says, you know what, I want to love. Because loving is that's the best way. That's the greatest way.
You know, I think about it, Jim. You know, just in my own experience growing up, you know, having six different lead pastors in an 18-year period, you know, you just never found any real faithfulness. And it's so difficult, you know, when churches transition from pastors to pastors and, you know, just not having the stability of someone in a local church. And so, you know, it's really a rare thing in a lot of places to have a pastor who will stay in one community, you know, for the entirety of their ministry. And I found it to be an incredible strength to our ministry. And people know I'm not going to be looking for greener pastures. I'm not going to be going somewhere else, you know, take my ministry somewhere else. I'm here. This is my city. And I have the privilege of pastoring here.
Yeah, especially in a small town, that's real, right?
Yes,
and,
right.
You know, of course, some people, they'd like to stay, but there are dysfunctional boards and stuff they got to deal with. And yeah. That's where a significant church can help. You can find a band of brothers who helps even your church navigate that kind of stuff. But you're right, especially in a small town, if you start having success, they think, is he going to stay? Now, the second thing, you said truly love your city, then what's next?
Well, if you're going to love your city, then I say make it a part of your mission and strategy. This is so important. You know, here at Victory, we've dialogued about this a lot. And so here's how we define our mission and strategy. We exist to change the world by helping people find and follow Jesus, by creating environments where people are encouraged and equipped to pursue relationship with God, partnership with God's family, and proclaim the gospel to the world. And so inside of that strategy, we have three key disciplines that we believe will help people grow and fulfill those practices. So obviously, you know, we develop relationship with God through worship, prayer, and the Word of God. We develop partnership with God's family through fellowship, discipleship, and stewardship. And we proclaim the gospel to the world through our personal witness, through community outreach, and through world missions. And so, as you can see, loving our city through community outreach is a very significant part of our strategy, and we talk about it all of the time. You know, we also recognized a long time ago that we weren't here just to build a great church, but to impact our community, and that would be virtually impossible to do from a distance if we just expected everybody to come to us. But we never went to them. And so we just realized that in order for us to really love our city, we were going to have to get out into the city. We were going to have to get our hands dirty. We were going to have to invest in them. And so for us, community outreach is very intentional, and it's ongoing all of the time. We never stop thinking about ways that we can reach into our city. And so we look for ways to bless our city. We look for ways to demonstrate God's love for them. For instance, at the end of this last school year, we held a mini carnival in our parking lot at our church. Yeah. And we just invited the city to come. And it was a family day. We sent out flyers. We posted it on social media. And everything was free. We just wanted to bless our city, and we really didn't know if really anybody would come up. We had games with prizes. We had free food, burgers, hot dogs, cotton candy, snow cones, popcorn. We had it all. We did offered face painting for the kids, and boy, they just absolutely loved that. We put up bouncy houses and did balloon art and just so much more. We also gave tours of our new church building and had a prayer tent where people could come. If they needed prayer, we'd be glad to pray for them. And what was so cool is we had several thousand people come onto our campus in that one little outreach. And several families were added to our church just through a simple act of loving our city by offering an opportunity to people. And it was all free. I remember one grandma came onto the campus with her two grandkids, and they were driving by the church, and they saw that we were having this mini carnival, and her kids started asking, you know, can we go? Can we go? Well, grandma only had $20. And so she said, well, we'll pull in and we'll just see how far $20 go. And she walks onto the campus and she discovers that everything is free. And it just blew her away. And her grandkids had a great time. We had an opportunity to minister her. And so we just encourage you, make loving your city a part of your mission and your strategy.
That is outstanding. And, you know, sometimes I think we could be tempted to think, well, you know, if I do that, is my church really going to grow? Well, not necessarily, right? Because after you did that, they came to a service where you prayed and you studied and you taught God's word well. And then, you know, just all the different parts of what make a church go, prayer meetings, the Holy Spirit moving, the word being taught well. But it's really true that where are people going to feel loved the first time? And when you do something big like that, I mean, it's amazing to me. Anytime we like feed the city in a crisis, there's always somebody who just sends you money, right? It's just, it's amazing. And it's because people, they respond to love. And what I like about what you said is we have stuff going on all the time. And pastors should never get bored in church because you should be looking forward to the next thing, you know, and the next thing. And of course, we don't want to get outbalanced where we're doing all of one thing, whether it's even just services, like all my attention is put into services at my church. You just start feeling unhealthy, right? You got to do some other stuff. You got to go out and have some community outreach days. You got to have some big fellowship days because that's a part of what it means to have a great church too. But I mean, I could imagine how the whole church felt when you shared that story of that grandma. They sit back. Yeah. They feel better about their church, right? And I don't know about you, Gary, but one thing I do during our offerings is I seldom teach principles about money. I'll put those into messages once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Occasionally I'll do a series just about that. Not every year, probably not even every five, maybe, you know? But right. One thing that I do is I make sure that I say to people constantly, because you're praying, because you're giving, because you're serving, this kind of stuff's going on. And we'll tell the story about that grandma. And everybody realizes, hey, that's why God calls us to gather together and to be who we are.
Yeah. And we're gonna talk more about that in just a moment. But I think it's so awesome. One of the things that we went into this intentionally with was the fact that we weren't necessarily trying to get people to come to church. We just wanted to demonstrate our love for the city. And so that was our whole heart, was just to bless them, just to love them. And if God so chose to draw them toward us, then that was all the better. But our heart really was, we just want to love people. We just want to demonstrate Jesus' love to them. And we feel like we did an excellent job in that. And as a result of that, several people took an interest in God and his plan for their life and decided, hey, let's go check out that church.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, actually, if you do make that your desire, you kill it because people can feel it, right? When Jesus said, let your light shine, that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The Greek word for good works is works done from an intrinsically good motivation.
Yeah.
So if you get the motivation wrong, then you end up destroying the purpose of the work. But really, when we live so that people, we want to love so that people have praise for God in their heart. And it's interesting how people just say that. They'll say, man, I just feel God when I'm here, you know. Well, that's because people are valuing what God values. So first of all, you said love your city, which for some pastors, I'm sure they're out there saying, Ah, you know, if we talked about leaving each other as much as we've talked about leaving this city, I know, let's just have a repentance moment right now, okay? Because we've all done that. But really, if you talked about leaving your family as much as you talked about leaving your church family, it probably wouldn't be good. So loving our city is a starting point. Making it part of our mission and strategy. In other words, don't let it be an intention, but say, okay, how can we tangibly love our city? And then the third thing that you have.
The third thing that we have done is just assess the felt needs in your community. And this is so important. You know, every community is different, and there are felt needs that perhaps in your particular location no one else is addressing. And so you have to do a little bit of research, and you have to ask important questions. You know, go to the police department or go to the social services and find out, you know, what are people struggling with? What are they dealing with? Then ask yourself, how can we help in that? One of the things that we discovered here that in Great Falls, that we had approximately 500 middle school and high school students that were classified as homeless.
Wow.
That seems crazy to me.
Wow.
They're either living out of their cars, or they're couch surfing at their friends' homes. And so we really had our hearts were just drawn to that. And so we ended up partnering with another local agency here to create a youth resource center where homeless students could come and they could get a hot meal. They could take a shower. We created a computer lab where they could do their homework. And we've also added, you know, drug and alcohol prevention groups to help kids struggling and dealing with those issues. Created a parenting seminars for parents to know how to parent, and just so much more. And a lot of our church people, they actually volunteer at the Youth Resource Center, cooking meals or tutoring students or a number of other volunteer opportunities. And here's really one of the other really cool things that came out of that was that at the time our partnership with this organization began, we as a church were actually in transition. We had built a new ministry facility and we needed to sell our old one. Well, guess who needed a building? Exactly. And so the very organization that we were partnering with to create a youth resource center, we were able to negotiate a deal with them to purchase our building. And it was a tremendous blessing to us, but it was exactly what they needed. And so in the midst of all of it, man, we just saw God's hand just orchestrating everything just because we were willing to address a felt need that was there. And God opened all of the doors. He connected all of the people. And it's just been an incredible blessing for our church. Our people love the stories, again, that we tell about what the difference this organization is making in the lives of young people in our community. And so the needs are really out there in your city, in your community. There are issues that perhaps no one else is addressing. And so you've just got to assess those felt needs and find the ones that really fit your DNA. Where do you feel like God is really leading and directing you? And he'll open those doors for you.
Yeah, I want you to list again all the ways you guys are helping those kids, because tell people the size of your church and then just share all the ways you're helping people, because that's amazing. I'm sitting here thinking, man, we need to step up our game here in Victoria, Texas. Well, because we did a lot, honestly, we did a lot of one-time things, like we did Toys for Tots, pioneered that to where it went from a few hundred kids to thousands of kids getting toys, and we did things. But recently what we're starting to do now is we're starting to partner on our serve days with our local agencies. And we're getting to know the people that are doing the real work, if you want to put it that way. And I'm praying for God to help us with a strategy, because list again all the things you guys did for those people who were homeless. It was blowing me away when you were talking about it.
The cool thing about our old facility was it had several of the features that they need. It had showers in it. So kids could come and get a shower and clean up, and it has a kitchen. You know, it's certainly we're in the process of updating it now to a commercial type kitchen, but you know, people come and we're able to serve them a hot meal at night. So kids come to the resource center and we're feeding them every night. And then we created a computer lab in one of our bigger rooms where kids could come and, you know, do their homework and get tutoring and that kind of stuff. And they were able to actually put up a basketball court outside in a little parcel of the property. And so kids come and they play basketball. And there's just so many things that they were able to initiate because they had a place where they could get it established. And there's a clothes room and there's a food pantry. And there's all kinds of things within that youth resource center that those young people can take advantage of.
Yeah. So, and but then you start talking about alcohol and drug rehabilitation. And so
exactly.
Were there some people sitting in your congregation that you thought, they're not that active, and all of a sudden something came alive inside of them to make all that happen?
Well, again, the organization that we partner with, many of the people that are on that board and work in that organization are from our church. And so it really helped in the partnership because we kind of had similar spirits in working together. And so the leader of the organization just became a really good friend of ours, a friend of the ministry. She's a phenomenal administrator and just does a great job with that. And through that and through our own people's involvement, it just began to expand. And they're always constantly expanding opportunities to just minister to young people in the various areas that young people struggle with.
Yeah. Well, somebody put on our chat, community transformation is the purpose of the church. And for sure, Ephesians 3, I think it is, 10 maybe, says it's his intent that through the church, God's will should be known to the principalities and powers all around us. And
exactly.
It's true that whenever transformation happens, people say, oh, this is what God wants to do for kids that are living on the streets, which I can't imagine 500. Of course, like you said, they're finding friends. But I mean, it's not exactly a pleasant place to not have a home in the winter.
Right.
When you're I told Tamara, if I was homeless, I would hitchhike south, you know, because I can't I can't imagine. But you go to places like New York City and you see homeless people, and it's really tough. So I love this next thing you talked about, because you talked about really the joy that's come to you as a pastor that you wouldn't have today because you've loved your city and God's helped you to start assessing the needs of people and to reach out. But sometimes if people are like me, I think, especially Billy Joe Doherty was both of our pastors, right? You'd hear
right.
Anything Billy Joe was doing, you go, you just start praying in tongues 10 minutes into his sermon. You're thinking, how in the world does he do all that, you know? So
right.
So this next point, I think, really is how you get started.
Right. So number four then would be invite creativity from your team and your church family. You know, I'm firmly convinced as a pastor that the local church can do anything. I mean, anything, as long as they have two things. Number one is leadership, and number two is resources. And sometimes I think we are tentative to ask for ideas for fear that people will have an idea and then expect you as the pastor or at your team staff to pull it off. And that happens too, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. They have a great idea, but they want you to handle it. I really do believe that if it's a God idea and God is calling your church to it and it resonates with you, that God will first, he'll provide the leadership for it. And it may very well be the person who brought the idea to you, that God has put his hand on them and say, hey, look, here's an opportunity for you. And part of our job as pastors is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so, again, rather than taking that on and saying, how are we going to pull this off, you know, really bring it back to them and say, this is a great idea. how can we pull it off? Can you give some leadership to it? Because it really is a God idea, then God's going to provide the leadership that you need. And, you know, we had some passion really to do certain things. We had our summer of outreach this year, and, you know, we planned on doing some really incredible things of outreach, but we needed leadership, and God gave us some team members that just took that spirit and just began to run with it. And it was so nice as a pastor to hear the idea and then see people stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, let's pull this off together. And I didn't have to be behind it. I supported it. I encouraged it. I cheerleaded, if that's the word. And they ran with it. And it was just so exciting to see how God raised up people to do incredible things, you know, with their gifts and their visions. Second thing is, if it's God's idea, then God will resource it, right? And so both financially and with workers or volunteers, I just really believe that if God's calling you to it, he's going to supply everything you need to see it come to pass. And I really believe that that's true. And if it's okay, Jim, I want to just address the financial aspect that you just talked about, because I just feel like it's so important. If you didn't get the chance to listen to the last webinar with John Nuzzo, man, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. I've already been through it a couple times. It was just so inspiring to me. He did such a great job of just inspiring a spirit of generosity. And back in 2021, we did two things that I just really felt were prompted by the Lord. First, I felt prompted to open up our spirit of faith in our giving and in our generosity as a church and start sowing some major financial seeds into missions and into ministries. And, you know, for a lot of years, you know, we just kind of played it safe. We felt like we had the money to give. And I just really felt like God challenged me that we need to get seed in the ground. We need to really start sowing. And, you know, we were used to giving, you know, 500 here or 1,000 there. And God just said, no, I want you to open it up. And so we just began to sow, you know, for what was for us radical seeds. I mean, we sowed 10,000 here and 10,000 there and 5,000 here and 5,000 there. And just, you know, figured that eventually we would run out of resource, but it didn't happen. God just kept supplying and our income kept going up. And then the second thing that I did was I stopped making appeals during the tithes and offering, you know, at least as far as teaching, giving a scriptural principle as to why people needed to give. And I just started doing what you do. I just started thanking people for their financial partnership and then started sharing with them what their giving was doing. And we still teach principle of tithe in our membership class, and I will talk about it every once in a while on a Sunday morning. But as far as teaching weekly on why people need to give, we just don't do it. We just thank people for their partnership. We talk about the stories, even some of the stories that I'm sharing with you today. We talk about those and what their finances are doing and helping the ministry to accomplish. And it's been amazing. Since we started doing those two things, our giving has gone off the chart. I mean, I can't even explain to you this. We just finished our fiscal year for 21-22, and it's been the most outrageous, financially blessed year we have ever had as a ministry. I guess I just want to encourage you to, you know, seek out creativity from your team. Get people around you who are creative, who have those mindsets of outreach, and get them on your team and let them help you. And let me just say this, Pastor, give yourself a break. You don't have to come up with all the great ideas. You've got people on your team and in your congregation who have amazing creativity. And I just want to encourage you to give them some ownership and watch what they will do.
Yeah, you know, John told a story privately one time when we were together about his father-in-law. Michelle's dad's not a person of faith, doesn't like people of faith. Okay, at least he was at the time John told me the story. God may have very well done something about that since then. But John was in Walmart, and he was taking his father-in-law fishing because he loved to fish. And when they were there, this lady comes up, and she says, "Oh, are you the pastor of Victory?" And goes on and on, because her son was addicted to drugs and was going to lose his family. And their Celebrate Recovery program helped him get free, matured him in Christ. His family came back. And she said, "My son would probably be dead if it wasn't for what your church meant to his life." And John looked at her and he said, "Well, man, can I tell you something? I've never been to one Celebrate Recovery meeting." He said, "You're thanking me, but you should really be thanking our people." And then, of course, he did exactly what you said. He got up during the offering or at some point in his sermon. I don't know when he did it, but he told the people this story. And that's really the beauty of pastoring. And I'd say this, that, you know, we've all had people come with like great ideas and then they get judgmental that nobody's doing enough, right? We've all had that. So we all have all these dysfunctions that we manage. But we need to remember that it's our leadership in the end that determines whether the dysfunction's going to reign or whether the environment's going to be built that causes God to bless a whole lot of people. And I was thinking as you were talking about where Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. You know, we pray in the good times, we pray in the bad times. We sow in the good times, we sow in the bad times, because we're just called to do it. And the amount isn't what's important. Obviously, you can give more whenever gas is at $5 a gallon, you know, for some people.
Yeah, right.
But it's the principle being celebrated. So he's saying, as a leader, make sure you're helping people see the blessing of living the word in the good times, in the bad times. And then he said, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And there's three things in there. Careful instruction. I know for me, I can hear things so much that I get familiar with them and I lose the power of them. But when somebody takes something, let's say like the words of my mouth, I know how important they are. But it doesn't mean that when somebody's really careful and instructs really well, I don't go home and say, "Okay, this is kind of like my diet. I can get a little bit better at this," you know?
Yeah.
And but being in environments where the pastor is careful in his instruction, he's patient with people, he doesn't drive them, and it's just an atmosphere of encouragement where he's celebrating how the word of God plays out. That's so contagious. And I know it's something that you and Pam do really well, because you're that way when I'm around you. I can tell that I've been there when somebody will say something that just has a little toxicity, a little bit legalism in it. And you'll just kind of smile, you know, and you'll say something because you've been around the block a little while. And for pastors, I just want to encourage you. This is so much more fun than just feeling pressure and having services every week. Know what's going on in your children's department. Know what's going on in your youth department. Know what's going on in your outreach department. Set up the schedule of your meetings throughout the year so that you're in those meetings and you can celebrate with the people, because it's really not something that people even expect us to do. I think there are people who will put pressure on you. And I mean, I had a lady who went through a divorce one time, and it was Thanksgiving, and she called and asked if she could come have Thanksgiving in our home. And I was going to Brother Osteen's house for Thanksgiving, so I couldn't have her in my home. But we started a ministry for people who are in that kind of situation. And people don't expect you to do it all, but as a pastor, they are blessed when you celebrate it all and let people kind of find their place in the body. So you have one left, right? We have one more to go.
One to go. Okay. Yeah, and this one really is very dear to my heart, and that is partner with other churches and ministries in your community. And if you're going to bloom where you're planted, if you're going to love your city, then I think partnership with other churches and ministries in your community is absolutely vital to that. And I guess I just have two thoughts here, and that's number one, is someone doing a ministry particularly well in your city? Sometimes we feel like we have to do everything, or we have to reinvent the wheel, or we have to come up with the creative idea. And I think as we're even assessing the felt need, to ask the question, is there somebody in our city that's doing this really well? And if they are, then just come alongside them and help them. Resource them financially, resource them with volunteers if you need. And here in Great Falls, we have a tremendous rescue mission. It's a great ministry to the homeless adults in our community. And so we partner with them in a lot of ways. We financially support them. We just did a back to school backpack drive with them. We had literally thousands of families show up at our civic center. We fed them. We gave them backpacks and school supplies and all that kind of stuff. But we partnered with several other agencies in town to do that. And so if they're doing it really well, just get on board with them. Another thing that we have here is what's known as the Echoes Pregnancy Center. And it's for teenage girls that find themselves pregnant and unwed. And we want them to have a safe place where they can go and hear a pro-life message. And so we send them there. And so we support them financially, and we encourage them, and you do whatever we can to help them in doing their ministry. Rather than creating something of our own, we just look for people to partner with in our community, and just to put our stamp on it, just to say, Victory's with you. We support you, and we believe in what you're doing. So if they're doing it particularly well, then join them in that. The other thing that I would say is just ask yourself the question, you know, what can we do together with other churches in our community? And I will say this, one of the true blessings that we have in Great Falls is that there is a high level of camaraderie amongst the local church pastors and churches in our city. Now, we have worked diligently to make this happen, you know, and I know this isn't the case in a lot of communities, but we have been very intentional on building relationships with other churches and with other pastors, and it didn't just happen. We really worked hard to do that. We've gone overboard to eliminate any spirit of competition in our city. And I have the privilege of overseeing a pastor's prayer network here in our community. And there's over 30 churches and 30 pastors who are a part of that pastor's prayer network. And we've just done everything we can to eliminate any spirit of competition. They are not our competition. They're our friends in ministry. They're our partners. We've got people from Baptist and Methodist and charismatic and Pentecostal, and we got all kinds of different backgrounds, but we're all one church, and we really work hard to do that. I do my very best to just be friends to other pastors in town. I speak well of them. I speak well of their churches. If anyone ever comes to Victory and they tell me they've come from a different church, I always compliment that church. That's a great church. They've got a great pastor. We love them. I just don't want anything to ever diminish the partnership that we have with other churches. And so we encourage them. And it's funny, we were in one of our meetings, and I had a Methodist pastor who I've befriended, and he came up to me, and he's a smaller church, smaller congregation. And we were talking, and I discovered that one of his heart's desire was to have a church sign out in front of his church. I said, that's what you want? You want a church sign? I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to get the best sign you want and send me the bill. I will be glad to pay it. And so he shows up about 4 weeks later, and he's got a picture of his sign out in front, and he'd sent me the bill, and we'd paid it. And man, it was just so exciting, you know, to see the joy in his heart that there was another church in town that believed in him and was willing to partner with him in the work that God had called him to do. And so I want to give you just a couple of other examples of things that we have been able to partner here in Great Falls. Several years ago, We partnered with, again, over 30 churches in bringing Will Graham, Billy Graham's grandson, into Great Falls for several nights of crusade ministry. It was incredible to watch what God did amongst our churches as we were trained together, we prayed together, we planned together, and we came together in the convention center to see what God would do. And you know, hundreds of people ended up coming, getting their lives to Christ. And it was all a part of partnership that we were able to partner with other ministries in town. The last 2 years, we have partnered with several other churches in a serve day. Many of you are probably familiar with the serve day idea. But on one Sunday every year, we take the Sunday morning off. And we encourage our people to plug in. And we partnered with several other churches here in town. And we just mobilized our church to do various projects, service events in the city. And this year was so powerful. We all had our own church team shirts on and serve shirts. And we went into the community and literally over 1,000 volunteers from those churches descended on our city and just loved our city through practical ministry outreaches. And it just builds such camaraderie in your city. It demonstrates that, you know, you're not an island unto yourself, but you really are here to build the kingdom of God. And one of the ways that we say it here in Great Falls is we are one church in several different congregations, but we are building the kingdom of God here in Great Falls. So again, I just want to encourage you to partner with other churches and other ministries. It will help your church connect with the overall church of Jesus in your city, but it will also leave your impact in more places than just your one local congregation.
Yeah, so Gary, we started out by talking about how you've been in Great Falls, I think 38 years, something like that,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you've been the lead pastor for 31 years. So the climate Correct. You have now, tell me, was it there when you came? When did it begin to?
No, actually, when I first came to Great Falls, there was tremendous animosity between the churches. There was a tremendous spirit of competition. Churches just didn't relate to each other. Pastors didn't like each other. And so it was probably in 1991 when Pam and I became the lead pastors at Victory that we really began the journey of building relationships with other churches. And there was a church in town that was doing a summer church service out in the park. And so I had heard that they were doing that. And so I called the pastor up and I said, hey, what would you think if Victory Church joined your church this year in a community service outside? And he liked the idea. And so out of that then was birthed kind of the pastor's prayer network. And we began to pray together on a weekly basis. And that has continued on now throughout over 30 years. Every Wednesday we get together and we pray for an hour together, just building relationships, praying for our city. And through those years, we've just seen a growing love and relationship between churches and pastors. And even when pastors transition and they move out of our city and a new church comes in, we reach out immediately and we grab that pastor and we let them know we're glad they're here. We are here for them and we want to help them in any way to succeed in what God has called them to do right here in Great Falls.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I'm going to have you, Gary, pray for everybody in just a second. And man, thank you for preparing such a great word today. You know, I want to let everybody know next webinar, which is 2 weeks, we do them every 2 weeks. And as Pastor Gary said just a minute ago, they're then archived. So there's all kind of stuff that when you have curiosity, we're bringing people who have proven experience. And man, our heart's never more encouraged than when somebody gives us good information and we can sit back and say, that'll work. That'll work in my town. And I know we heard that today. I mean, I know there's always people and we're sitting there saying, man, I just feel like I'm in the end of the world. not even sure I want to live here. Well, if you sow, you're going to reap. And if you love your city, and if you start serving needs, and if you start loving pastors, pretty soon you're going to look up, and the environment that you didn't think you wanted to stay in becomes the most satisfying environment you ever dreamed that it could possibly be. So that's our heart for you today. Now, next webinar, we're going to have Pastor Scott Porter. He's a great story. The website before this one, we had his church on that website because it's out in, rural Illinois. And I'm telling you, the enemy tried to make things difficult in one season, but I saw him say, stay faithful. And I saw him do the right things. And he's going to talk about the impact of simplicity. That for some of us, things aren't as complicated as we think they are. So if you know somebody who needs to believe that God has a victory strategy, and it's not as difficult as you might think. Now, when I say that, you take a little computer chip. How much is embedded in that chip that makes things possible? And I've found the best way to live is to get the Word of God embedded in my heart. And then whenever stuff comes up, it's in there, and I can bring forth something else through what God's put on the inside of my heart. And but we can all do that. And Scott's going to talk to us about simplicity. Paul said it's through the simplicity of the gospel that people's lives are saved. And sometimes our answers aren't out in the world of being complicated. They're in the realm of, maturity in God's word, but just simplicity. And we're gonna do this and trust that God's gonna do what he said as we do what God's asking us to do. So we'll look forward to being with you in a couple of weeks for that. But thank you for tuning in today. And again, we just considered our lunch appointment. Bring guys that I know you'd love having lunch with. And I know a lot of us got inspired and some really good instruction today about how to love our city. Gary, would you pray for us before we go?
Absolutely. I would love to. And just let me say, I love the Significant Church Network, and I'm so grateful for Pastor Jim and the leadership team for what they bring to us. And these webinars have been really so life-giving to me. And I just really encourage you, if you're in small town America or wherever you are, make it a priority to plug into these webinars. I just believe they will be so helpful to you as you navigate ministering in your local community. So let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I'm just asking, Lord, that you would pour out your great grace and favor on every pastor, every ministry leader, God, who is listening to this webinar today. God, I pray that you would infuse them with health and wholeness, God, peace and joy. God, I pray you'd bless all of their relationships, God, their marriages, their families. Lord, let your goodness just be seen in each and every one of them. And God, I pray even today, God, that you would strengthen the love that you have for their city in their heart. God, that they would choose to set their sights on truly loving the city that you've assigned them to. God, I know that as we love our city, God, we're going to see our cities changed for the kingdom of God and for your glory. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Gary, again, thank you so much. Give Pam our best and all your family. And hey, guys, let's have a great weekend this weekend.